A few doors to the east, a group of children were playing some kind of complex game with linked headsets, their arms and legs falling into and out of phase with each other. Timmy stood on the sidewalk, squinting up into the sky. Behind them was a squatter's camp in an old ferrocrete apartment block. In a locked room at its center, Eric's custom deck was set up and primed, connected to the network, and prepared to create a new identity from birth records to DNA matching to backdated newsfeed activity for the client, as soon as she arrived. Assuming she arrived. She was 15 minutes late and, though they had no way to know it, already in custody. Timmy grunted and pointed up. Eric followed the gesture. Far above, a star burned in the vast oceanic blue, a plume of fire pushing a ship out of the atmosphere. Near the horizon, the half-moon glowed pale, a network of city lights crossing the shadowy meridian.
Transport, Eric said. They use mass drivers for the stuff that can take the G's.
I know,
Timmy said.
Ever want to go up there?
What for?
I don't know,
Eric said, staring down the street for the client. He'd seen her picture, a tall Korean woman with blue hair. He didn't know who she'd seen before, and he didn't much care. Burton wanted her made into someone new.
Piss out the window and make everyone down here think it was raining, maybe?
Timmy's chuckle sounded polite.
It's what I'd do, if I could,
Eric said, making a swooping gesture with his good hand. Zoom.
Get up the well and out of here. Go where no one cares about who you are, so long as you're good at what you do. Seriously, it's the wild fucking west up there. You want 19th century Tombstone, Arizona? It's alive and well on Ceres Station. Well, from what I heard, anyway.
Why don't you go, then?
Timmy said. With a different intonation, it could have been dismissive. Instead, it was only a mild kind of curiosity. It was part of what Eric liked about Timmy. There was almost nothing he seemed to feel deeply.
Starting from here, I'd never make it. I'm not even a registered birth.
You could tell them,
Timmy said.
People get registered all the time.
And then they get tracked and monitored and wind up dying on basic,
Eric said.
Anyway, no one's taking me for a vocational. Waiting lists for that are 8, 10 years long. By the time I came up, I'd have aged out.
Could build one, couldn't you?
Timmy asked.
Make a new identity and put it at the front of the list?
Maybe, Eric said. If you gave me a couple of years to layer it all in like I did for Burden, he can go anywhere with docs I built for him.
So why don't you go then?
Timmy asked again, his inflection as much an echo as his words.
Guess I don't want it bad enough. Anyway, I've got real stuff to do, don't I?
I wish you'd fucking get here, right?
Eric said, unaware that he made everything a question when he wanted to change the subject. Unconsciously, he made a fist with the hand of his bad arm. Timmy nodded, squinting down the street for the client that wasn't coming. Most of their lives had been spent on streets like this, the trade that exploited prostitutes and their illegal children was the second largest source of unregistered births in the city. Only religious radicals accounted for more. It was impossible to know how many unregistered men and women were eking out lives on the margin of society in Baltimore, or how many had lived and died unknown to the vast UN databases. Eric knew of perhaps 100 scattered among the legitimate citizens like members of a secret society. They congregated in condemned buildings and squats, traded in the gray market economy of unlicensed services, and used their peculiar anonymity where it was most helpful. Looking down the pocked asphalt street, Eric could count three or four people that he personally knew were ghosts in the Great World Machine. Counting him and Timmy, that was half a dozen, all breathing the same air, while the plume of the orbital transport marked the sky gold and black above them. There was old water in the gutters, black circles of gum and tar on the sidewalk, the combined smell of urine and decay, and ocean all around them. Eric looked up at the sky with a longing he resented. He knew himself well enough to recognize that he was a man of desires and grudges, so well, in fact, that he'd come to peace with it. The blackness of space, where merit counted more than the placement on a bureaucrat's list, where the brothels were licensed and the prostitutes had a union, where freedom was a ship and a crew, and enough work to pay for food and air. It called to him with a romance that made his heart ache. On Ceres, or Tycho, or Mars, the medical technology was available to regrow his crippled arm, to remake his shortened leg. The same technology could be found fewer than 8 miles from the filthy curb where he sat. But with the triple barriers of being unregistered, basic medical care waiting lists, and his own ability to function despite his disabilities, space was closer. Out there, he could be the man he should have been. The thought was like the promise of sex to a teenager, rich and powerful and frightening. Eric had resolved 1,000 times to make the effort, to build himself an escape identity and shrug off the chains of Earth, of Baltimore, of the life he'd lived. And 1,001 times he had postponed it.
"Get up," Timmy said. "You see her?" Eric said. "Nope, get up."
Eric shifted, frowning. Timmy was looking east with an expression of mild curiosity, a casual witness at someone else's wreck. Eric stood. At the intersection a block down, 2 armored vans had pulled to a stop. The logo on their sides was a 4-pointed star. Eric couldn't tell if the people getting out were men or women, only that they were wearing riot gear. Metallic fear flooded his mouth. Timmy put a strong hand on his shoulder and pushed him gently but implacably across the street. 2 more vans came to a halt at the intersection to the north.
"What the fuck?"
Eric said, his voice distant and shrill in his own ears. Timmy got him across the street and almost up to the doors of a 5-story squat before Eric pulled back.
"My deck, my setup, we've got to go back for it."
A deep, inhuman voice broke the air. The syllables designed in a sound lab to be sharp, clear, and intimidating.
"This is a security alert. Remain where you are with your hands visible until security personnel clear you to leave. This is a security alert."
At the intersection, teams of armored figures were already questioning 3 men. One of the civilians, a thin, angry man with close-cropped black hair and dark olive skin, shouted something, and the security team pushed him to his knees. The biometric scan, fingerprints, retina scan, fast-match DNA took seconds while the man's arms were held out at his sides, his elbows bent back in restraint holds.
"I think maybe you used to have a deck," Timmy said. "I don't think you got one right now."
Eric stood unmoving, caught between the animal urge to flee and to protect himself by hiding the evidence. Timmy's thick fingers closed around his good shoulder. The big kid's expression was mildly concerned.
"We don't go right now, they're gonna have you and it both. I sort of screwed up the last thing Burden told me to do. Let's not burn my second chance getting you caught."
"This is a security alert. Remain where you are with your hands visible until security personnel clear you to leave."
Eric swallowed and nodded. It was the nearest he could come to speech. Timmy turned him toward the squat and pushed him forward. In the streets, the security teams converged slowly, moving from person to person, door to door, floor to floor. Before the operation was through, they would identify 343 people and detain four who appeared in the operational database as persons of interest. Three unregistered individuals would be identified, entered into the system, and held pending investigation. The two of the unregistered who refused to provide a name would have names assigned to them. The operation, covering three city blocks, would locate an unlicensed medical clinic, three children in distressed circumstances, 7 pounds of S-class psychoactives, 82 instances of illegal occupation, and the network interface deck and data collection setup offered up by a blue-haired detainee in exchange for a reduced penalty. The process would take 10 hours, and so it was still hardly underway when Timmy and Eric emerged from the undocumented access tunnel that connected the squat with an abandoned seawater pumping station. They walked together, Eric with his good hand stuffed deep in his pocket, Timmy with the same amiable air that was his default. Eric was weeping silently. Above them, the transport ship was gone, the golden exhaust plume now only a streak of smoke against the sky.
"I'm dead," Eric said. "Burton's gonna fucking kill me. They got my deck, they got everything." "Wait a minute," Timmy said. "Everything, everything? Burton's stuff was on the—" "No, I'm not stupid. I don't store records of how I keep Burton clean. But I didn't wash it down after the setup. I was going to do it after we were done. It's going to have DNA on it. Shit, it may even have fingerprints. I don't know."
"So what if it does?"
Timmy asked with a shrug.
"You're not in the system."
"Not now," Eric said. "But if they pick me up ever for anything, it's going to be with a little highlight alert linking back to that fucking deck. They'll know what I do. And then they'll know to ask."
"You don't gotta say anything,"
Timmy said, his tone almost apologetic.
"I won't get a chance. Burton finds out they've got my DNA, all he's gonna see is a path back to him. I'm a loose end, man. I'm dead."
All around the city, traps shut. In the north, 5 dozen armored security personnel blocked intersections and shut down metro stations. The door-to-door search and control operation converged on a 7-story office building controlled by the Loca Griega. The local men and women took shelter where they could, hiding in bathtubs and basements and soot-caked, hard brick fireplaces. Things dense enough to, hopefully, block the infrared and backscatter and heartbeat sensors Star Helix carried. Network signals went dark. The Star Helix employees moved forward in tight formation. Forced to use their eyes instead of their tech, the plates of armor on their chests and backs and bellies, making them seem like vast beetles in the autumn sunlight. When the perimeter around the building was established, monitoring stations were constructed, watching the windows for the vibrations made by voices. A wave of dragonfly small surveillance drones swept in, and for a moment it seemed like perhaps the violence wouldn't come. And then, as one, the hundreds of small, cheap Star Helix robots fell to the ground, victims of Loca Griega countermeasures, and the building bloomed with gunfire. 17 Loca Griega died before the sun went down, including Edward Hopkins and Jehona Jurbon, reputed to be the Earth surface coordinators of the belt-based syndicate. The plume of smoke that rose from the building darkened the air for hours and left the city air gray and hazy the next morning. At the same time in the west, where the municipal limits gave way invisibly to the regional jurisdiction, A warehouse owned and operated through a complex web of shell companies was locked down. The security teams emptied a 3-block radius using a small fleet of armored buses and an operational procedure designed for response to sarin gas attacks. When the warehouse's perimeter was breached shortly before midnight, it contained 10,000 unrecorded assault rifles, 500,000 rounds of tracer-free ammunition, 70 cases of grenades, and a computer room ankle-deep in melted slag. There was no evidence of anyone having been present in the warehouse, and no trail of ownership for any of it. Checkpoints at the evacuated rail terminal, the spaceport, and the docks identified 70 people traveling on falsified accounts. All of them were independents or small fry in a larger organization. The security forces hadn't expected to catch anyone high on their priorities list in the first pass. The more powerful, better connected targets were either smart enough not to travel during a crackdown or else had cleaned accounts to move under. Instead, the thought was that among the small-time thugs and operatives, there might be one or two desperate and foolish enough to provide them a lead to someone bigger, someone worth having.